Egypt's interim government offered to resign as the violence continued. We'll take a closer look at the death toll. The Deficit Reduction Supercommittee threw in the towel. Republicans and Democrats do agree on one thing, though. Some action is still required somehow. And companies are buying back more of their stock, even as they're going ahead with layoffs. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Egypt's interim government handed in its resignation after a third day of bloody protests in Tahrir Square. The crowds cheered as the word got around. It's not clear whether the ruling military council will accept the resignations. But a report on state television said the generals were seeking a potential successor as prime minister. The death toll appears to have risen to at least 35, but as we hear in this report from Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick, there's some uncertainty about the number.
Doctors have told us that they're under pressure not to acknowledge publicly that some of the dead have been killed by live ammunition. At the same time, there's a growing disconnect between the political elite and the crowds here in the square. While the elite continues to try to negotiate with the military over the steps that would lead to a handover of power, the crowd in the square seems to think that the military has lost its legitimacy. It's not at all clear how this will end. The military said today that they respect the right of the people in Tahrir to protest peacefully. When asked about those who've been killed by live ammunition, tear gas, and rubber bullets, they described them as thugs. And they warned that the continuing occupation of Tahrir Square is taking a heavy toll on the Egyptian economy that could pose even further challenges for the transition here.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick in Tahrir Square in Cairo. Bahrain's government managed a tactical victory by using force as the Arab Spring unfolded. Now Bahrain is waiting nervously for a report on the revolt and the crackdown. The king asked a law professor to do the investigation. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says it's a tall order. Neither side even agrees on what to call the traffic circle where the revolt began. The king wants to promote reconciliation and chart a way forward. In Washington, it's now official. The bipartisan leadership of the Congressional Deficit Supercommittee announced it had failed to reach an agreement. Tuesday's Times says that could mean higher taxes for almost everyone and lower spending on almost everything. That's because at the end of next year, two things will happen. The Bush tax cuts will expire and the automatic budget reductions will begin. That has some in Washington saying Congress still has time to agree on a better plan. But for now, Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer looks at why the committee couldn't work something out.
In the end, both sides said that Democrats were not willing to go very far with entitlements, while the Democrats countered that Republicans really never put real revenues on the table. And this has been the dynamic of the entire 112th Congress, starting with Eric Cantor and his negotiations with Vice President Joe Biden, leading up to the negotiations between House Speaker John Boehner and President Obama, and then the failure of the Joint Committee. The failure of the committee is almost certain to become an election issue starting now. Both Democrats and Republicans feel the failure of the committee demonstrates weaknesses of the other party and shows their intransigence. And it will be up to voters on some level in 2012 to see whose version of events they believe and concur with.
Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer. Tuesday's Times says federal prosecutors refused to get involved in two recent terror cases here in New York, so the city took the lead. Over the weekend, the NYPD arrested Jose Pimentel on bomb-making charges. Privately, federal law enforcement officials are questioning whether he's capable of committing terrorism. They also had issues with the role that a confidential informant played in the investigation. Times reporter Lizette Alvarez says Cuban Americans are taking the lead in building ties to Havana. Younger Cuban Americans who still have strong family ties there are taking advantage of new, looser travel restrictions. Children from Miami can now fly to Havana by themselves. Companies are flush with cash, so what are they spending it on? Tuesday's Times says they're buying back their own stock. The drug maker Pfizer did that after slashing its research budget and laying off 1,100 employees. Times reporter Nelson D. Schwartz says big companies are creating fewer jobs when they do buybacks. They're also not laying a foundation for future growth by expanding into new businesses or building new plants. Some experts also say buybacks really don't reward investors. Inside Tuesday's Times, the U.S. and its allies are rolling out sanctions against Iran. This comes in response to a U.N. report on Iran's nuclear program. Washington is now listing the Central Bank of Iran as a primary money laundering concern. That's an important symbolic step, but it falls short of a formal sanction against the bank, something China would probably resist. Another milestone in the presidential campaign, Mitt Romney is set to run his first television ad in New Hampshire. It attacks President Obama's economic leadership. It'll start running on Tuesday, just in time for the president's arrival in New Hampshire to talk about his plans for turning around the economy. The Republicans will be heading to Washington. They have another debate on Tuesday night. The former chief executive of the insurance giant AIG is suing the government. Maurice Greenberg says the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department improperly took over the company in 2008. He also says the Fed left AIG shareholders in the lurch when it unwound the company's disastrous bets on mortgage securities. Freud supposedly said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, but when is a cigarette a cigarette? This comes up because New York City is taking two roll-your-own cigarette shops to court. They don't sell Marlboros or Newports. They sell loose tobacco and paper, and they have machines where customers can make their own cigarettes. The city says the stores should be charging cigarette taxes at $5.85 a pack. The stores are charging only tobacco taxes. They're far lower. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.